Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Ever feel like your blanket just can't keep up with you or the weather? Introducing the all-season Minky Couture Everywhere Blanket. Whether you're at the beach, on a hike, or cozying up around the fire pit, the Minky Couture Everywhere Blanket is your perfect companion. This new hooded blanket is super soft, ultra-portable, and stylish, too. It offers luxury comfort and warmth that goes wherever you go. Get your new Minky Couture Everywhere Blanket today. Available now in stores and online at MinkyCouture.com.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
And the wolf is at your door. Your running's over, that's for sure.
This episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. What's up, y'all? It's Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And today is actually Sunday before Memorial Day. And I am sitting in the home studio, not headquarters studio, but the home in Watson. And I've been hanging out in the pool. I put some meat on the pit this morning at 7 o'clock to smoke because my brother from another mother, OG Lifer, who y'all all know, and if you've been on any of your social media to the live shows, etc., He's here in the house, and it is
Joshua Ebar.
Joshua Ebar, the only one. Well, let me ask you this. What nationality is Ebar?
They say we're Indians, but we're mostly mutts, I would say.
So, you know, my entire life, because of black hair and the nose and everything, my mom was, swear to God, we were Sicilian. She's big in the genealogy. Right. Like, traced all our people coming from Corleone, Sicily, like where the Godfather was done. Our people came from the town of Corleone. And the guy got kicked out with a black hand, showed up in Pierre Part, Louisiana, and he showed up with two bodyguards, right? He opened a general store and a bar room. I'm in the genealogy, but years later, when that family testing shit came out, I got that for my parents for Christmas, and I got it for Cindy and I. I came back, I'm like 49.9% German, which is the most you could be in the world. The
right.
Very first motherfucker ever set foot in Germany in the 80s or whatever it was 49.99. I'm like 0.7% less than him. So my mama's butt hurt. I'm still 21% Sicilian. But I had never, and, you know, I do names. I kind of queer about that on OCD, but I was thinking about that last night, and I've never heard the name Ebar.
There's actually a town in Ebar right by Zawali, Louisiana.
Really?
Where both of my parents are from.
Okay. Well,
so there's a, and that's where they say we're Choctaw Apache, but
okay, so the Indian blood.
Yeah.
Are you getting any of that casino money?
No. They're not federally recognized, but yeah, they are state recognized. So that's how government money goes.
All right. So you are the let's tell the people who don't know. You, how long you been LP in y'all life resistance parish?
31 years.
Right. Probably. 31 years.
So you might as well say I grew up here.
I'm about 5 years short of you as a transplant, right?
Right.
And then your beautiful bride is here hanging out with Cindy, and I'm sure they're in the pool doing whatever. And by the way, y'all, we're having a beer and a
drink, Crown and Coke.
Crown and Coke, whatever. So if you hear us drinking, that's just because it's Memorial Day weekend. But so she's here, and you've raised a passel of kids. Tell me about that.
Well, we met in junior high.
Right. You don't have to tell anything you want to.
Yeah, right. Well, right, I mean, right, right. We had a kid when I was 15. She was 14. He's 30 years old now.
That's amazing.
He's been all around the world.
Really?
He was a professional gamer.
Really?
Which I preached against.
Yeah.
But he went all around the world for like 4 years.
Wow.
And he made more money than I made.
You talk about gaming, like
yes,
game.
But it was a computer, but it's a game.
Right.
It was like a shoot 'em up game.
WL, our youngest, he'll be 14 next month. They for like years, like three. I don't think I've told you this.
Mm-hmm.
3 or 4 years, they've been paying him to play Fortnite and EA. Is it? I don't think it's called EA Sports anymore. Whatever it is, they give him all the bucks, whatever, just to get him.
Oh no!
To do whatever. Like the other night, he actually went to bed early because the new season of Fortnite was coming out, and they wanted him on as soon as the whatever beta got done. So your son did that.
He did it
before. I mean,
and he went to Romania.
What?
All kind of like. I want you to imagine that, though. I want you to imagine letting your son fly. I don't care what age they are.
Right.
25 hours away from you. With the promise of, I'm fixing to make $50,000.
Right, to go play.
Yeah.
But we call it playing, but that they take it serious.
It's
like my son,
super serious.
Yeah, like
20 hours a day.
That would have been equivalent for me, I guess, of chasing girls and drinking beer or football.
Exactly. We just chased the wrong thing.
Right. So that's awesome. And I learned today that you're already a grandfather.
Yeah. We've got 3 grandchildren now. And like I said, he's 30. So it seems weird because I look young, but, and he's bigger than me actually. So it's kind of weird. Yeah. He's going through life now though. So now he has a regular job. He has a regular job doing what I taught him to do.
Right.
He's surveying, but in South Carolina.
Yeah.
So that's the only bad, the drawback, because they're 10, 11 hours away.
Yeah, I get that. So my oldest is 26. Well, she's in South Louisiana right now, just for the moment, to her baby shower. So she's down south working for the Venice Marina Waitressing, which she's always done. And she's like 7 months pregnant or something, and we're having our first grandbaby in August. But she lives in San Diego. So that sucks. Motherfucker, right? To have to go back and forth. But that's not, so you have your 30-year-old. Who else? Yeah.
23-year-old. He works with me still. He's surveying too. And then I got my daughter, Presley, and she's a dancer.
Right.
She danced for school. She dances every day.
See, all my sisters were dancers, and I remember when I was real young, having to be hauled to the dance recitals.
Oh my
and
God.
Then when I hit about WL's age, I was like, let's go to the dance recital, right?
It turns.
We're not talking about strippers. We're talking about, like, these girls are athletes.
Right.
Like, legit. Like, to me, they're more athletes than the cheerleaders are.
You just see the exercise. She has to warm up for half an hour before she gets started twirling for 3 hours. I'm like, no way.
How is it to have 30...
23 and 14. A lifetime.
I know it is, because I have 26, I think it was 26, 27, 25, 23, and 13.
Okay, that's more of a lifetime.
Yeah, but you got
but like it's literally
so you
80% of my life I've been a dad.
95 or 93?
I think it was 94. Yeah.
All right. Because mine was
94. Yeah.
All right. So we're here, and naturally we came to know each other all through the podcast. And then I saw you when you started being a lifer, and you did so much, and you've always been so proactive. And then you come to the shows, and we became friends.
Right.
But then at O'Hara's last weekend, we really got to hang out.
Right. It was just kind of us.
Right. And chill. And then we're going back to, I shouldn't have done all those fucking shots.
I know.
I was good until I started on the shots.
I hear you.
And then but it was cool. And we go back to the hotel, y'all. Guess what? We're staying on the same floor.
Like six doors down. Right? What's the chances of that?
Because I was trying to walk around anyway and do it. But I told Cindy the next morning, I said, that's a cool motherfucker, and his wife's a beautiful lady and a cool motherfucker. I can just say that affectionately and without being disrespectful. I said, we need to start hanging. But that night, you and I talked about it. I said, Brian, well, you need to come on the podcast.
Right.
And you were like, fuck yeah. wanting to be on the podcast.
I definitely didn't want to do it.
But you had some shit that you wanted to – yeah, you didn't want to do it, but you had something
to say.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And
I was like, and we didn't talk about it. We never talked about it. And we started to, and I was like, no. The best shit I've ever done in my entire career on podcasting is don't fucking talk about it. Let's just jam. So
yeah. So first of all the lifers, you have to understand that I see every one of you as heroes, and I have this whole time. Like, I'm going to get a little emotional here because you helped solve two cold cases in real time. We lit up their phone lines. We lit up their emails.
Y'all answer the call to action. That's the truth.
These people were begging for us to shut up.
Listen, I was in Maui. It was a free trip with Shane McBride and Matt Clark Wartell, it doesn't matter. And we had got so drunk the night before. I forgot the call to action was coming out that day. And then now he's the head of Channel 2, WBRZ commentary. And he said, Woody, Mariposho's case just got solved. And he said, they're literally melting their lines or what have you. Can you give me an interview? I said, motherfucker, I can barely breathe right now. I'm so hungover, and I'm in Hawaii, and I can't do it. But the lifers, he said, your fans are just killing us. So maybe it wasn't. Oh, they made the arrest or something. Maybe
it didn't take long.
I think the episode came out when it was like a 5-part with the family, and then I did the call to action. Right. I just wanted to put the human face on there. Appreciate that was bullshit, man.
That was. They had the killer. They knew the killer.
Thank God West Baton Rouge stepped up and they did it, and it was because life was like you, bro, that did it. I can only be one voice.
I know.
Other people got to make the phone lines.
This is the important part about you. Instead of saying me, 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 look at Woody Overton, you say, look at this situation.
Look at the victim.
And hey, can you help? And they did. Yeah. I mean, it makes me tear up kind of.
I still got goosebumps right now. What I try to do, Josh, on each one of them is put the human face on the victim. That's why I asked him, the family member said, what's the worst whooping you ever got, which your sister's dead now, murdered. What's the worst whooping you ever got? What was her favorite meal? What's the whatever?
Yeah.
So
you hooked
we
me.
All can relate
you hooked
to that
me.
Shit.
Yes, I know.
So I've tried to put the human face on the victim because I already know what's happening. Right. And then we get to the point where what hasn't been done or has been done, whatever the fuck, they lost this person now. And then I'm like, that I use my experience on, I'm like, this is fucked. And
right.
And something needs to be done about it.
And you
did
it.
I use, but I can do it with a life or something. Yes. I have nothing. I would be I can't go. I'm not law enforcement anymore. I can't go solve the cases myself. I have to use the lifers to do it.
The power of the people.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
And in this day and age, it's hard to group anybody to do anything, to believe in one set of principles or another.
Right.
Somehow you did it. You got these people to care about somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's what chokes me up. Like, if you can do this, then we can do anything. I know you don't like the compliments because you're always deflecting it.
Yeah.
But you are the instrument for these people to do the work.
I never think about it unless, like, I'm seeing someone like you that says that, but I'm not a very good receiver. And I don't do it for the fame or the money or whatever. I literally, finally we got the conviction on David Anthony Burns, I ran out of the courtroom crying.
I know. And somebody said, I was going to mention that because you care.
Yeah.
Your life, your expertise, everything you could do. The powers that be were against you from the word go. You had to. I remember you doing your Facebook Live and protesting
That's right.
I've watched it since the beginning. So
yeah, that's right.
That's why I got involved. I got involved to help you. Yeah. I seen your deficiencies. There's no way you can talk to 100,000 people all the time.
And you know what? You're absolutely right. Yeah, the lifers make me strong where I'm weak, and they carry me and do whatever. But I wouldn't even know, right? So if there's two minds in a room, it's great.
Right.
I could look at one thing. If there's 20 minds in a room looking at the same thing, it's even better, right? If there's a million of them, it's even better. But I try to glean because let's go back to it. You said, how do you get people to come together? And I never thought about it like that. But that's the truth. That's what happened. It's not because of – it's because I took it on and I worked it, but it's
– Nobody had to pay attention.
But it's not – it's exactly right. Y'all each individually had to decide, hey, this is fucking wrong.
Right.
And – I'm going to fucking step up and do what I can do.
And we did.
We did it from all over the world.
All over the world. Do you know how beautiful that is?
Our listen score globally is 0.05%. That's the best. The 0.00 is the absolute best in the world. And we're in 167 countries. And I didn't even know they had that many countries. But when we put it out there, you got to go back to it. You got to have, I'm okay. This is fucking wrong. I'm going to stand up I'm going to just do what I do and let the chips fall where they may.
And
the chips fall where the lifers come in. I'm like, fuck that. Jesus. We're going to do it.
The chances of this happening, not once, but twice. And also, you did it a third time with Kim Womack's case, but they didn't have no evidence to go by.
Yeah,
but you got attention to it.
I got them what they want, the family wanted, which was it's never been investigated. And number two, they never had any media attention, and they got it.
Oh, it definitely got it.
Local news channels. Some cases are never going to be solved.
Period. Right.
Now, like Miss Barbara Blunt's case, that case is so totally solvable. I already know what I know. But the thing is, the ones that are involved are not going to rat on each other. And we're just waiting. And I still believe that God is going one day.
It bothers me,
too. I'm going to wake up. I know everything. One day I'm going to wake up and God's going to say, now it was time. Now roll
this. You've done your job. You've brought awareness to it.
But that's the thing. I need the lifers to always keep that in mind. And I'm complacent about it. Not complacent, because I think about it every day. I still have a picture beside my bed and stuff. But y'all keep calling in your tips on that. It's just one.
Believe him. He's already proven. If we work together, there's nothing we can't do. Nothing.
Yeah, we did. We've done it. We've had success. And then the problem with success is that, especially like after Dateline comes out and all that, then everybody. Bro, I was getting, I don't think I told you this. Before I was getting like two or three requests. Before we got the conviction on Burns, I was getting two or three requests from around the world, people saying, oh, you know, my uncle or whatever.
Right. Oh, no. I talked to him, too. So, yeah, I know.
And then after Dateline and after going to Moral, I was getting like 15 requests a day from different people. And these are real people.
Oh, no. I believe you. I talked to somebody the other day on your channel.
They're hurting. They're fucking, their lives have been ruined, the whole nine yards. And I'm like, I was getting fucking videos from prisoners inside prison on obviously contraband cell phones. They were like, Mr. Woody, my case is this and this. Can you work it? I'm like, the total overwhelm. There's no fucking way. Yeah. If I had 100 lifetimes, I couldn't work all these cases.
Right.
And I don't know why I got off on that kick. But,
I'm glad you brought that up, because people, get your information together. Yes. Information is what solved these other cases.
Right.
Hey, everybody, it's Aggo. Listen up, especially you ladies over 40. I've got some good news. It's called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution. It relieves symptoms of menopause. It promotes healthy weight loss and curbs cravings. It improves sleep quality. It reduces bloating and gas. It relieves hot flashes. It can even relieve occasional mood swings, although nothing like that has ever happened in my house. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalance should take it, but it's perfect for the horrible menopause symptoms that make you put your life on hold. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and code RLRC at checkout for 15% off today.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, why are nearly one in three American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that doesn't turn into fat when you consume it. Instead, it turns into a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body.
So getting more MCTs in your diet is like flipping a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which flushes out excess fat and calories. And Dr. Gundry has created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it comes in a tasty drink form. It actually tastes good. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized.
So you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/RLRC and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. And again, that's GundryMD.com/RLRC.
Awesome.
All right, good deal.
Don't give up.
Right.
Keep your information and email it to him.
Yep. Yep.
He has so many. I mean, he's dealing with 100,000 people a day.
Yeah.
Putting it on Facebook is not going to get it. You got to email him. So tell him your email address.
It's woody@realliferealcrime.com. And y'all, we have the app. God, like,
oh, please so go to the app.
Got TikTok and Instagram and all these things. We got like 7 different Facebook pages, right? And the thing is, I still try to answer everybody's shit personally myself. But some of these Facebook pages, I don't get to like, I spend like 12 hours a day on social media.
No, I believe
way
you.
More than I do recording. And I'll happen to go to the Woody Overton public page because my personal one's maxed out. And message, I might have 7 messages. And they're like, my mama got murdered on such stuff. Mm-hmm. Dada, solve her case. I'm like,
yeah, where, when, and what happened?
I never heard of this, and I actually don't watch the news and shit now. Or like, have you heard of this case? I'm like, no. And so I'm trying to come up with a standard reply to get everybody to get that one email. Hey, and you know what? This is a separate. Everybody loves a winner, right?
Right.
They want you to win their shit too. The thing is, Stephanie Belgrade, Courtney's mama, that family had over 2,000 pages of case file that they had saved over
years. I've seen it.
That some bitch is the most complete case file I've ever seen.
Yes.
Mary Pusho's family had some photographs, things like that. But the deal being is, if you send me, I swear to you, and no matter how long it takes me, if you send me, and look, I got people, holy shit, matter right now, lost one of my, thought was my best friends for, you know,
right,
40 something years last week because I didn't work his friend's mama's case, which she got murdered and the guy died in prison or whatever, and I hadn't done it yet. And then they blew me up. I don't know if they were drunk or whatever the fuck, it doesn't matter. But every day I get people that are mad at me because I'm not working their family's case. I'm like, I hadn't got there yet. I got to do it. When I can do it, or I don't have enough information.
Right.
So if you're gonna just send me a one liner saying my boss Tom got murdered in 1991 at the Quick Mart, can you solve his case? Just save your fucking keystrokes.
Right.
If you don't have something to send me, I don't have time to go dig it up. It's horrible, man. It's just bad.
And I know you're like me. You want to help everyone,
I didn't know it was called empathetic. The guys, they had a podcast. The big muscle guys, they were Army guys. But anyway, I went on their podcast and interview, and the one of the things they said was, he said, do you realize that you're empathetic? I said, no. And I'd never thought about it. And he said, you cannot do what you do and solve cases and take these families' pain on yourself if you weren't.
Oh my God. So am I, though.
Right? So if you can sit in a room and feel other people's pain, I can sit in a room with 100 people. I can tell you who's hurting,
right,
sad. It's discernment and empathy. But the empathetic part comes as I want to help.
I know.
Right? So you doing the same thing.
I do that all the time. And that's why these cases struck me, and I knew you needed help. There's no way you can talk to 100,000 people and keep up with that. And so the simple questions I answered, and if it was just a funny thing, I answered, so you don't have to.
Let's talk about that. So y'all, Joshua and I's relationship has developed over the years, with it being from I see it because I read the comments and everything, and then you post a lot of stuff. This is not, it's not, Joshua doing for any other reason other than you're empathetic and you're feeling not only what I'm feeling and like, yo, this, you know, somebody asks a question.
Yeah, this is not monetary. This is not, I don't work. I work for the people, basically. Right. I knew right. you needed some help.
Right.
And poor Cindy.
Right.
God bless her.
So there's a few others like Leah Marie and then.
I didn't want to start naming people because you're going to leave somebody out.
Right. Yeah.
All of you are heroes. All of you.
Y'all heroes. But the thing is, and y'all, this is all totally raw and unscripted. The thing is, I guess we're to the point where I have to have that. But then God's now giving us this personal relationship where our wives are hanging out there. We're drinking and we're just talking behind the microphone, right?
Which it was hard for me to stay away from you. Yeah. But I knew that it wouldn't be real if we were just like hanging out. I was taking care of it.
It's like Shane. Shane is now my brother from another mother and everything else. And his wife was a big fan first and everything. And over the years, hear me talking about going to Wisconsin is because I know now, like I know about you, this motherfucker is legit, right?
Right.
He doesn't want anything
Nothing.
From me. He doesn't want anything, but continuously, like you're doing, shoving shit in my face, like, eat it, motherfucker, take it. Just shut up and receive it.
Right.
And you got
to
be a good
You have
receiver.
To know that what you've done is special. And you're always.
I never think about
What you
that.
Do is you show people.
I'm giving a beer, people.
Yeah. I mean, you show people what needs to be done, and people have responded. To have that kind of empathy or even care about it. I mean, you could just tell cop stories, right?
Yeah.
You could just tell your cool cop stories and be a podcast.
And hadn't even touched state police years. And people are like, oh, you ran a source, but I haven't. But I got to be in a mood to tell those. It's like if you're a minor league ball player and you get called up to the World Series for one game and you do whatever and you win the World Series. And then going back to being a minor league ball player. Because I love to – we built Real Life, Real Crime off the old cop stories. And I
True.
Get that.
That's how you hooked me in the beginning because your stories were true like and real.
But to me, I did that shit on a dare. To me, solving the cold cases, fuck me. There's nothing more important to me to this day. That's all I ever wanted to do was help people – and God made it where it happened. And I don't know, bro. That's just going to come back and I'll do it. But it's kind of queer sounding because I do like
how do you come? How do you come back from the high of what you've done?
Yeah.
It's almost, but I think people overlook it because in a digital age, like 2 seconds later, they're on to something else. Oh, right. I know he solved these murders, right. But whatever. No, right. Do you understand that nobody on the planet could get this done? And this man did it not once, but twice. And he's still working on one. Yeah. And one just doesn't have enough evidence. But he still used his platform to tell the story.
I guess the difference is I'm going to give a shout out to all the cold case detectives out there that are in law enforcement. Because I did so many, that's how I made my bones in law enforcement. That very first day, and when I made detective, everybody left, and I could still see the two metal filing cabinets in the back room said, murder, cold case. And I remember pulling out the first one, which was Janet Benoit. That's the one that Screwdriver Red murdered, his first victim. And the long story short, those dudes get it done every day, and they don't have a podcast.
You made me change the way I feel about law enforcement. I used to think of law enforcement as the guy that pulls me over and gives me a ticket because that's the only time I ever seen him.
I hate writing tickets. And most 99% of the people never have an interaction with law enforcement unless it's one of their worst moments.
Right, but you guys are heroes too. And you don't get it. You don't have a podcast to talk about it.
Right.
But also what he did was after that fails – he made it happen, and so did the lifers. That's why I'm like, I get teared up.
Absolutely,
about it.
Wouldn't have happened without the lifers. And man, bro, I mean,
I mean, you got to mention God in this. Like,
absolutely,
some kind of way.
I was about to say, blessed. Whatever deity you pray to, I'm telling you, it's all God, bro. It's all God.
The fact that I'm sitting here by you.
Yeah.
Like, what's the chances?
Crazy.
Man. We've lived in the same parish for 30 years. Yeah. Right. Never met you in my life. Mm-hmm. But then when I started following you, and then you asked for something. You asked for us to pay attention. Yeah. You asked for us to email. You asked for us to call.
Right.
And it worked.
They did it, bro. It was so stupid.
I did it too, like you retarded.
That's great. And most people, I think everybody that actually listened and gave a fuck did it. You talk about that protest. That was Courtney Coco's case.
Yeah.
So I had done a polygraph in Lafayette, spent the night before, and it was hot, but it was fall time. And I knew we had. People don't know, and I never touted every candlelight vigil. I was guest speaker at numerous.
They don't know the time and money you spent.
Every march, every courtroom appearance, I did it because I promised Miss Stephanie I would.
And that's right, you did.
So this is what happened. I did the case, turned it back over to them. They called the family in, and they were like, "Yep. This is correct, and we're going to make the rest. Give us 2 weeks." Well, fuck. A month went by. Two months went by. This is DA told Miss Stephanie.
Right.
The whole
family. I remember.
And finally, Miss Stephanie, I called Stephanie. Stephanie called me and said, "Woody, they're not doing anything, and he won't return my phone calls and everything else." And she said, "What we can do?" I said, "We'll fucking go protest." Ooh. Right? Everybody else in the world can
This is America.
Protest. Let's go protest.
Let's do it.
And so I drove up there. It's funny, Ma, I know you're listening. Miss Ida, Courtney's grandmother. Fuck, dude, I got out there. I had a short sleeve shirt on, and it was like fucking 30 degrees. It dropped from the time I went Lafayette to Alexandria. The cold front had moved through. So I'm up there, and I was still losing weight. Time. I'm fucking shivering. Little Miss Ida has got to be in her, I don't want to say your age, Ma.
Yeah, it's not good.
Probably. I know you look like you're 30, but probably 80-something, right? She gives me her jacket. She's like, "You my baby. I'm going to give you my jacket." So when I'm marching, holding that sign on the knees that day, Miss Ida had given me her jacket out of love. But what happened that day was one of the days I did a call to action. I said, this motherfucker Stephanie called the office while we were doing the protest. And I know all the lifers want to be there. And I know all the lifers want to be there for the court and all that. And a lot of them did show up, but that could. But the Stephanie called Philip Terrell's office, and they were like, "Oh, he's out at a funeral." Like, bitch, we got your building surrounded.
Right.
We're in marching, da da da. He'll give a charge, he never would come down. And then that's when I said, you know what? That nice life is burned out. And they did it. And I don't think you did. I didn't ever advertise or really talk about this. The fucking trial, the voir dire, it was all about real life, real crime.
You mentioned your name a couple times, but
fuck, he.
You solved
them out.
It, dude.
Yeah, but his whole defense was going to be this podcaster got it wrong. Now, what nobody knows, it went to the Court of Appeals for the first time, and we won, but. Stephanie went, and that's one I didn't get to go to. I don't know where I was or whatever, but it was in Lake Charles. And so normally in the Court of Appeals, each attorney gets so many minutes straight up. Then if they ask you a question, they ask you a question, they might extend your time. They don't give a fuck. And 95% of them, they won't even hear. All right, but David Anthony Burns got his day in Court of Appeals, and they went up there. His attorney got up and said, Hugo Holland was there. He messaged me last week. He actually said his sister from Kansas City, he just found out she's a huge fan. And he and I were at odds in the beginning. And now we're good. I respect the fuck out of him. He's a gangster, OG, badass, fucking best prosecutor I ever saw. But anyway, Hugo did his shit, and they asked a couple questions, and they came back, and they said, fuck him, conviction affirmed. Right,
that dude's so guilty, bro.
Yeah, oh, he's guilty.
Fuck. I mean, see, that was your key. You couldn't tip off what you had,
right,
But you had to keep the lifers engaged. So you were telling a story, but at the same time, not the whole story.
Hey, when,
that's tiptoeing, bro.
When that douchebag, it was Captain Duvall, Duvall's Cajun Charters, one of our sponsors back then. He's the best guy ever. He's down in Delacro. And so I had lifers, had one. His mama was a LOPA, double lung.
That's another LOPA. We love him.
Lived for X amount of years. But his wife was a lifer, right? And she turned with her. How we became hooked up was that. And he was like, I want to donate a fucking fishing trip. And will you make it a part of a fishing trip that you come down and fish with him? I said, fuck yeah. And Buddy's Barbecue at the time, sent me with a bunch of food, whatever. So that night, I go down and stay at the, whatever the marina's name was. And I had a room by myself. And I wake up always early, especially when we're going hunting or fishing. Normally, that's the time I go to bed. And I wake up and I turn my shit off airplane mode because I use the fan noise. My motherfucking phone's going ding, 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 ding. And the only other time it was ever that bad was when I was getting off an airplane in Phoenix, Arizona. And Denny Perkins had been arrested. And everybody.
I remember you talking about that, yeah.
So, but it's going ding, 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 ding. And it was all about fucking David Anthony Burns putting his first Facebook Live ever on. He was, I'm coming for your wallet.
And oh, that yeah.
Bullshit.
Such a punk.
And they were like, watching him like, this motherfucker. And he's like, yeah, Mr. Woody, this town, my mama always told me this town would make me rich and da 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 da. And how you going to put me on a national podcast? And I got Photoshoppies.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I got Photoshoppies. Oh, shit. I don't listen to your podcast, but I pay people. You know, fuck him. Yeah. He's in an angle to get butt fucked right now.
Exactly.
That's exactly where he deserves. But he probably likes that.
Right? Yeah, what a douchebag. He really was.
Oh, my God. It's horrible, bro. It was so bad.
There's so much hate in this world and so much evil.
It's evil.
This is why when something like you comes along or these lifers, these people.
It's all total package.
You can't really explain it. When I walked in last year when we went to the bash, I swear to you, for 5 or 6 hours, I was like a superstar. Everybody talked to me.
Okay, but the thing, I'm going to quantify that for you. I knew that was going to happen. I didn't say anything, but you didn't know because of what you done. And a lot of other ones, too, not leaving anybody out.
Oh, yeah.
But the OG lifers have stepped up and they get more involved and start doing more posts and doing more stuff, but not because of any other reason than it's in their hearts, but they don't understand. Just like me talking and I grab the lifers' hearts and everything, you're grabbing and the other ones are grabbing their hearts, and then you walk into the crew bash, all of a sudden you're like, they're all like, hey Josh, that was fire. You said this, and you got balls. And hey, can I get a picture with you?
Oh right. My God, it was just like that. I felt it felt like pure love, and there was. It's hard to describe. Right. It's like a church scene almost, when somebody's praying over you.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like, and it's kind of a down. The next day, you're well, how do you?
Do you know what I call it? I think I probably talked about this in the podcast. I call it a H&H, a homicide hangover. When you build up in, whether it's crew bash, I mean, it didn't have to be a homicide. Like, the crew bashes were a big deal for me because I know that, these people were coming in to see
from all over.
And from all over the country and Australia and everywhere else, coming in to see me. And what I do on the stage there is totally different because it's drinking and interactive, but I'm still telling real shit.
Yeah.
And then when we do the lope and everything, when that shit's over, I build myself up to it, even though I don't practice. I build myself up to it. And then when it's over, I almost get, it's like me solving, even in law enforcement, solving homicides, you're hitting so fucking hard for so long, it's just wide open because I don't know any other way. But then when it's over, and they're gone to prison. They're like, I'm like, oh, what do I do now? I get almost depressed.
Me too.
Yeah.
So. But that was what was cool about O'Hara's. Like, it was not so many of us. Mm-hmm. And but still, I don't know if you remember, we met somebody that just passed
the
bars.
Yes, the bar.
Yeah, like me and you are the same. We get in a bar room.
Yeah,
we meeting people.
Absolutely,
that's the way it is.
The young lady who had just passed the bar.
Yeah.
The person she was there with was a fucking prosecutor from the Senate. Now I'm gonna get. Wichita or whatever. I know exactly where it is. I can tell you every town in the parish, and I've been there. But the Quentin Tellis, from Scorched Justice season one, that's where he's locked up right now. But anyway, it's where Monroe is. But we met them. And he came back to me later at night. He said, his daddy is the DA up there. He said, I called my daddy and he said, that motherfucker's legit. Woody Oven's legit.
Hey, dude.
That
was like, you are legit. But and not only are you legit, your fans are legit.
Yeah, well, you're.
Well, like, friends. I'm not even including myself in this. I'm talking about the love, the appreciation, the respect they show you. Yeah, when you go ahead and speak online, say, hey, I got this cause.
Yeah.
Call. See how that far that gets you. Yeah. These people, you hooked them. And they not only called, they emailed, they will beat your door down.
They did so much more than I could ever dreamed of, right? And it's just so stupid. Bless. Stupid in a great way. The and what we've done. And I don't know where it's going, Josh, but I know it's God's got it. And so much shit. And you try to diversify and you get into side things like the Daily Show and Bloody Angola, and
which everything you do is good in its own right. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you got these lifers have your life in their hands. They really do.
It all got started because of the true shit, right?
And let's reiterate that. Get to the Real Life Real Crime app. The difference between Facebook and that is it's isolated. And these people are funny.
Hey, nobody controls it but us.
Exactly. Yeah. These people in there are funny. Oh, and they give you recipes. And it's a family.
It's got
like
forums. And
not a bunch of pedophiles like running through Facebook.
And every episode. And the great thing about that was, so there's a company called Top Fan. They reached out to us. They did Halle Berry's and the Denver Broncos and all these famous motherfuckers. They built their app for them. We were the first, and at the time, we were the first true crime show to ever have their own app.
Which is expensive.
That shit is fucking horribly expensive, but it didn't cost us, right?
Okay, good.
They said, we want to do this because we true crime genre is the number one in the world. We love your shit, but let us build your shit, but they take a certain percentage or whatever.
Okay.
And I'm like, fuck it, I don't care. But the app was really a good thing because even like the crew page that has 42,000 or 43,000 members, whatever. But that I get censored on. I used to be in Facebook.
Oh, I know. You're famous, Jim.
Fucking day. But I worry about losing. I get moderation alerts every day, whatever. I worry about losing that
for dumb things too.
Yeah, it's stupid. And then you always got your haters, right?
Right.
Guess what? Barbara Blunt's killers, they got family members too, or they hate me, right?
Right.
David Anthony Burns.
Everybody locked up in your
him.
Career.
Exactly. That's a lot of fucking
people. And their family.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And their friends. Yeah. They're like, come on, man. And bro, if I had I wish I had a quarter for every death threat and every bad thing,
Which is all the more reason not to do what you've done is become.
I don't give a fuck.
Right. It's God.
If they shoot me in the head or something, kill me or whatever, guess what? I'm nowhere. I'm going to be.
I'm gonna
be straight. I don't want to go yet because I'm going to see my granddaughter getting born.
That would be nice.
I think we got some more great things to do solving for these families.
Man, if I was totally rich,
we could
help some people.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. But there's only one of you. We need 10,000 of you for this country.
No, we need.
I see the pain on your page.
It's not because. Sorry, y'all. It's not. I was doing on the podcast the same shit I was doing when I was in law enforcement.
Right.
The difference is it's on a podcast.
Right.
I actually cannot tell you how many cold cases I've solved in my career when I was.
I would like to know that. That's a good one.
I had to think about it because I block shit out as I pass on. And otherwise, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. Right?
That was another question I had for you. How? Because I pick up all this pain from just these few. If you get to see this all the time, I don't know how I could function.
The worst part is my OCD is not, and I have full-blown OCD, it's not wash my hands 50 times a day, or sometimes I do double check the door locks, but I know I lock that motherfucker, and then let me go back and check. I won't be able to rest until I go check it. But my OCD, my main thing is never being able to turn my brain off, right?
My entire life,
I could never sleep and do whatever, because this is whatever I'm fixated on, it won't stop. But that helped me that solve cold cases like nobody else could solve, or even murders. They didn't have to be cold, because if I'm in your case, you're fucked, because my brain's never going to stop. I try to make this motherfucker stop, and it won't stop. But at 3:30 in the morning, when I'm half in and half out of sleep, or 4 o'clock, whatever it is, then just
I did genius that
idea pops in, and I'm like, holy fuck, this is it, right? And because I've worn it out 14 billion ways a different way in the, I don't know.
You get used to it. You're numb to it now, probably, a little.
So, like, I block shit out when I'm done with it until I pass by. That's how the podcast got started. And I'm driving to the coast for the weekend, and I passed by someplace I worked a murder at, and I totally forgot about this murder. I'm like, oh, I was telling the story, and that's when she said, everybody loves your voice, and I'm, you know, whatever, you need to start.
I mean, you do have
a voice. You need to start a podcast, and they love your stories, and you need to start a podcast. I'm like,
okay. Were you ever nervous?
On starting a podcast?
In the beginning.
Fuck, let me just tell you
what. When you put yourself out there.
I had no idea. I said, put on the number one. She said, true crime genre is number one in the world. Put it on. And we're still driving to Beau Rivage. And put it on. I was 2 minutes, just turn that motherfucker off. That's boring as fuck to me. That's why I don't watch true crime shows and shit, because it was like going to work. And so when I started it, we went straight to the hotel. And it was on a computer. None of this high-tech equipment, although this may not sound the best, y'all, but it'll get cleaned up. But when I started it, I just sat down and told the story of Double Clutch, right? And Christina Constance. I'm like, there's a fucking story. Put that bitch out there and see how it went. And God did the rest, right? And the people, I catch a lot of flack talking about God, Jesus. I don't care what you believe in or don't believe in, it doesn't affect me.
Right.
I have a relationship, not a religion. And I don't know how to explain that, but I catch a lot of shit because when I'm very vehement about my Jesus, I love him very much. I know it's real. Jesus held me. I died on the table. That's a whole nother story. The thing is, but I curse. I drink. Oh, I'm going to have a sip of a drink now.
Jesus knows.
Toast up real quick. I mean, Jesus drank wine, turned water into wine, right? But I'm the biggest sinner in this fucking state, probably. But as soon as I do it, I'm like, oh, please forgive me. Yeah, you know,
right.
I'm probably not the biggest sinner, but I'm not a murderer or shit or child rapist or anything like that. But I'm just me. But I'm straight with who I got to be straight with.
Right.
How
could my life happen the way it happened, and your life happened the way it happened, and us end up in this room without a God, without a Jesus?
Let me tell you something. I've oftentimes thought this, like before you got here today, I was watching, which I never did. I was wanted like a screenshot of shit of beaches, so because I'm a water baby, right? And of beaches and shit, and I had it on there, and I was like, how can you look at something so beautiful in I don't care if you're an atheist, but the or whatever, and not believe there's not a higher power that created all this,
right?
Or puts us together and lifers together, Miss Stephanie and Mary Pusho's family and whoever else is
the people you've helped and the people that helped them.
Absolutely.
I mean,
but it's everybody,
right?
And that doesn't happen. Then tell you one fucking thing There's no such thing as a coincidence, especially not when it comes to something like this. I believe that in my heart.
Yeah, and like, I don't like to push religion down people's throat, but you can't tell me that there's not a higher power to help you solve these cases and to make people care.
But it's the people that care that help you solve the ones.
All the lifers, again, you're heroes. I'm just telling you.
They are heroes. And the thing, what I was saying is, almost to the point of being rude, how fucking vain do you have to be to believe there's not something bigger at work that puts us all together to do what we do?
Who cares how it has to happen? It happened.
Exactly.
And I believe in God did it. So up to you what you believe.
And don't care. It doesn't affect me.
Right.
But I'm not going to not say what I believe.
You should never. And I don't think you will, because you're kind of like me. You can believe what you want to about me, but I'm going to tell you what I believe.
Exactly. I'm going to tell you what I believe. And guess what? I'm not going to blow in a fickle wind.
Right.
And one day I'm going to wake up and be whatever the fuck, right? The I'm going to be me. That's the only, I'm 54 years old. It's the only way I know how to be.
Me too, either. Wrong, or indifferent, as my dad would say.
Exactly. Let me tell you this. And my mama tells a story all the time. She told it the other day. My dad spent the night with me last week. Just him and I, at headquarters. And we locked the gate, drank a couple beers, cooked a big ass steak, and whatever. Whatever. And he slept in the room. I was like the parent, going in, peeking, making sure he was okay. And when I tucked him in bed, I said, "You want a taco or a burrito, Daddy?" And I tucked him in. And he's elderly now, but smarter than fuck. The 48-year trial lawyer. But she tells the story. So we were in Houston, and I think my mama was having like a triple bypass or something, or my daddy was having something, whatever the fuck, it doesn't matter. So we're in Houston in Ritz-Carlton or something like that, and I always wear Real Life Real Crime shit, right?
Right.
Some of my shirts on the back say Murder by You or whatever, different sayings. The fans like the
right.
Lifers coin, Woodyism is that lifers coin, because I didn't coin, I just say shit, right? So we're sitting, we're getting breakfast before we go to wherever, doctor's office, what have you. And this is fucking ritzy as fuck.
Right.
And there's this old guy. I saw him when he came in and he sat at the table beside us. And I got a t-shirt on, right? A Real Life Real Crime t-shirt saying on the back. And another guy comes in and they join them. And then me and my mom and dad done eating. I think my mom came down just after us. And my dad, I was bringing back up to get him straight for go to the point or whatever. So we leave. My mama said, the old man at the table next said, "Well, that's a hell of a saying on the back of his shirt." Well, my mama thought the saying was "Murder by You." And she said, "Mama Bear." And she gets up, she goes to the table, and she said, "I just want to tell y'all that this, he has a podcast and he solves cold cases on the podcast." She thought the back of the shirt said hashtag murder by you.
Right.
And she said, "So that's what it meant." And the guy said, "Well, you have to, certainly have to think that that's an interesting saying. These are rich motherfuckers."
Right, right.
And then she saw me when I came off the elevator, and they guessed what the saying was on the back of the shirt.
Oh, my God. What?
Sugar's turning to shit.
I thought eat a bag of dicks. That was my first thought.
I actually don't have one to say.
Okay,
that.
Well.
But it was sugar's turning to shit. And she loves to tell that story. And she said, I saw
that. Was so
like,
good.
Oh, my God. My mom being a lawyer and all that. But anyway, the I don't know. What do you want to name this episode?
Whatever.
We got to name it something before we get off. This is going to be the first of many.
Lifers.
Right.
I would call it lifers, because that's what it's about. It, I'm here for them.
That's it. Let's call it lifers. And we'll guest Joshua E. Barb. And the deal being is, this, I swear to you, in my entire 6 years of doing podcasts, this is the first time I've ever sat down and drank beer and hung out and just talked about stupid shit.
This is what they want, though. Yeah. They want the real life, real crime. Right. And this is it.
Well,
I'm glad we got a chance to thank them, Because they're so they're important.
Everything. Yeah. So before we came in here, we were in the pool, and you said, Woody, you say it all every show, how much you love and appreciate every one of them, and it almost becomes like background music.
Right.
But the you know that I mean it, and you said, I won't, and I was like, oh, don't tell me what you're going to say. But so thank you for bringing that out. And you know what? All lifers are the heroes.
They are.
None of this would happen. None of the cases would have got solved. None of this shit would have none of it would have happened had they not taken up the call to arms and taken these,
which is amazing, right?
Victims, like they're family members,
right?
And I always say that, so it could be your mama, it could be your sister, or
that's the way I see it too. Especially when I seen those photos.
Yeah.
And then I thought about somebody whipping my mama like that to death, and then nobody caring.
Nobody cared.
You care, and I care.
I did. Yeah, yeah. And the lifers care.
And right, thank you guys. You are heroes, for real. I'm not playing with you.
One of your heroes, right?
Yeah.
And then, so let me ask you this. Anything you want to add or take away?
I'm good with it. I wanted to project love.
Right?
I wanted people to see Woody. Instead of the corporate Woody,
or
the one you got to tell a story, right?
Tied down by the shit. Then just look, y'all, we're making that old shit disappear and go back to other. When you turn to business side of business things, it gets all fucked up.
But see,
my fault, because I believed in a motherfucker or I didn't believe in whatever the fuck, in contracts and all this bullshit that I hate.
Right.
I would rather kick myself in the nuts 10 times a day than deal with one of these things that I've had. But it's a learning process. One of these things I had to deal with. You know, so.
Last statement for me. Mm-hmm. Help this thing grow. Share, like, appreciate, comment.
Yeah.
With your help, who knows, he could solve two more.
Right.
And you're already heroes. Why not keep going?
That's fire, bro. That I totally believe that. Also, I get like imprints, and I know it sounds crazy as fuck, but I get like imprints too. But also, God led and everything that I do, when I choose to sit down and record, I know it's got to be right. I know that sounds stupid, but I also know there are cases coming, or there are cases that I'm already looking at that we're going to bring to attention to lifers, and we're going to solve them. And I can't say which ones, because I don't know, right, the end result. But I can tell you this, we're going to start telling these stories. Some of these families, they just want their shit to be put out there. If it never gets solved, like the Womack story, it's always been an accident. But now they're investigated as homicide, even though
you got it done, bro. Honest, but they were they never.
And we're honest, we're like, okay, we agree this should be investigated as a homicide, but it's never getting solved. I mean, you know, 20 years later, however long.
Now imagine that times probably 100,000 our state, and then the America. Now that's how many people he could possibly reach, and that's how many people are reaching out to him.
We could reach.
It's up to you. You're the one that drives this thing, not Woody. Woody's only trying to direct traffic and get you to focus on what you need to focus on. It's your job to help.
Yeah. And I'm going to say this, and this is the truth. I don't want to say I tried to do too many things, because I did everything with pure intentions, but the getting away from the base thing, even the old cop stories and starting another podcast like The Daily and all that, I don't have any real regrets about it, other than now I think that, you know what, I could have spent that time working on somebody else.
Like I said, if I was rich, I'd give you $1 million, and we would do the deal. We would do exactly what you did for these people, for everyone.
And I just quit. But you know, the just like you and all the lifers stepping up and doing, putting their energy in the way that they could, right? The calls and the emails and the sharing the posts and doing whatever. Every case I've ever worked, and I'm saying the victims' families become my family stuff, That takes a piece out of me.
I know. It takes a piece out of me because empathetic. Here we go back to that.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely correct. It takes a piece out of me. And I'm like,
how many pieces do you get?
And then you're like, do I do this? Like on Mary Poster's case. But thank God you did. I know. And it was my wife's fault again. But she was so well known and liked. I had all these lifers kept messaging me. Can you look at this? Because it wasn't that old, like eight or nine months.
Right.
Can you look at this? I'm like, fuck you. I just got done with Courtney. I got a fucking homicide hangover. I got whatever. And then finally, Mama Karen Ortolano said, I got to listen.
She's awesome.
And she said, Woody, will you please at least talk to the sister? And I said, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to do that. But I wasn't going to just placate her, but I had no intentions of working the thing.
I know. She's telling me to shit.
And she said, I got a picture that I'm not supposed to have. And I said, well, send it to me. And she sent it to me, and I immediately said, can I call you back? This is late at night. It's like 10:30 at night or something. And I got off and I showed it to Cindy, and that's when she said, how can you not use your platform, your lifers, and your God-given skills and your experience in law enforcement to solve this
case? If you do nothing else, you've done these things.
She said, how can you not take this fight on your fighter? And I called her back and I said, schedule a meeting with the family, right? Whatever. I love you. Thank you for being here. I can't wait. I'm so glad that we had O'Hara's last weekend. We had the friendship anyway, but now we're hanging out together at the house, right? And there's nobody else here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got my daughter and her fiance and my son and my wife and your wife. That's it. Oh, we probably need to go check the shit on the pit. Because I had WL running.
That's true.
We've been smoking meat since 7 o'clock this morning, y'all. It's Memorial Day weekend. Remember, Memorial Day is about the people who died. Veterans Day, everybody gets confused.
I know, they do.
But Veterans Day is another day. This Veterans Day should be appreciated. I'm a veteran. This is about the people who died, horrible deaths, most of them, in war. There's no great death.
Of
war. They died. They sacrificed some.
Just so we could do this.
All give
this
some.
This very
some
thing.
Give all. That's it. And that's what this weekend's about. And y'all going to get this next weekend anyway, so it doesn't matter. But we're smoking meat because those people, and we're hanging out drinking a beer, drinking a drink, talking on the podcast because those soldiers, men and women, died so we could do this. Hey, if they hadn't won World War II, we'd just be speaking Japanese and German right now.
100%.
Right? So I'd probably be a little bit better than you because you got Indian. I got
some. Right.
Just fucking with you.
49.1% or whatever.
They were the oldest motherfucker in Germany.
Yeah.
I have to pull that report out one day. But I want to thank you so much and be the first of many, because this episode is fucking fire. But I tell you, the best ones I ever did, when you get done talking, you won't be able to remember. You know the overall scheme of what you talked about, but you don't want to remember. You be like, listen to me, like, holy fuck, I said that. But it's fire. So, love you to death. Thank you so much. Let's go back and join our wives in the pool and have another drink and smoke some more meat. So, I'm going to let you bring this one home. So I'm gonna say, fuck that. We gotta go back. LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency. That's some heroes, bro.
They are. I got to meet. I forget her name, but
Mrs. Jewel.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, these are the kind of things that happen at your bash.
Holy fuck! How special is that?
Jesus.
And then I got to. This is one of a thousand of these stories. And I got to hunt. I got to sit in the fucking blind with this kid that got her son's organs.
Jesus.
And we're in Wisconsin because McAllar Whitetail Adventures. And I got to guide him on the hunt, right? We got to drink beer together, and I got to skin his animal out for him and everything else. He's alive because another kid, the day he got his driver's license, said, "Mama, I think I want to be an organ donor."
And save a life.
Missy is a nurse, and she said it was totally unsolicited, and she's like,
such
"I think this is a great thing."
Oh my God,
oh my, she's awesome. And so LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency, y'all nonprofit. They help facilitate the families and the heroes and everything else. But you don't have to be a lifer from Louisiana. You can be a lifer from. You got to give me a country, city, whatever you want.
Germany.
All right, there you go. All right. See, you could be a lifer from Germany. Go to LOPA.org, fill out the little questionnaire. It's like 2 minutes, and give the gift of life, sight, and all that great shit that they do. So I'm your host, Woody Overton, Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Until next time or ever,
don't let me catch you on Murder Bayou.
Peace.
Peace.
Yeah, the rights remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
And the wolf is at your door.
And so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.